Hello, and welcome back to Iacon Underground Radio. We are doing our 2024 wrap-up this time. I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
We're not going to do like a line-by-line wrap-up. Basically, the idea is that if we can't remember it off the top of our head, it's not worth mentioning.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Because, man, you can go on. There's so much news these days. It's ridiculous. There's so much Transformers news. So many toys coming out. So much
stuff. It's minutia or it's leaks of things throughout the past year. We'd spend so much time scrolling through any news list.
There's so much news. You know, back in my day, you would get, like, a dozen toys in a year. And you'd be happy about it because you were buying them with babysitting money. Mm. but no, we are not babysitting for toy money anymore because we are old people in our 40s and Transformers is now 40 years old.
Yes.
So there was some anniversary stuff. I mean, there was, like, a little logo they put on everything.
Yeah, it felt, well, it's more noticing the anniversary than some other fandoms might get, but it still feels like it wasn't big enough for 40th anniversary, and yet we did get a movie, which we'll get to.
I think the problem might just be that we already get so much stuff all the time.
Yes, that's kind of the thing.
There's just, you know, you turn up the fire hose just a little bit wider and it was already a fire hose. Like, do you notice? There was a movie last year and it was one of the live action ones, but it was one of the less offensive live action ones. And I mean that both in quality and in generally being offensive. I mean that,
well, yes.
Both in quality and nobody mentioning the, like, Romeo and Juliet laws.
We don't need to keep bringing that up, but how the hell did that happen? Anyway.
There was the More Than Meets the Eye theater event with the live table reading. I think it is on YouTube or something now.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's out there. It was fun. I'm glad I did it. I don't know that it was necessarily worth, like, a full price theater ticket. And I don't know what I'm going to do with this popcorn bucket.
I mean, the popcorn, well, yeah, I don't know what to do with my Bumblebee head popcorn bucket.
But that's a fun one. Does it? Because I think I need something like that, like maybe one of the smaller ones to just, like, keep remote controls in.
That might be neat.
I used to have a Transformers Animated Optimus Prime head that was an Easter basket that I kept my remote controls and stuff in.
Yeah, I skipped out, like, was it with the Beast one where you could get the whole Optimus Prime trailer?
Yes, that was the whole truck and trailer one with, like, the cab that held your soda.
Yeah, that, maybe I should have got that because that would be good for storing things. Sorry, Bumblebee, but my Dungeons & Dragons giant 20-sided dice is the best popcorn bucket I have.
I just had a somewhat chaotic apartment move because that's the only way I know how to move. I can't remember if I kept or tossed the figure Slurpee straws from Revenge of the Fallen, but I definitely discovered that they had made it through my last few moves.
Okay, I do still have two, well, at least one of the two, Taco Bell Godzilla cup holders.
Ah, those were classic. Those were classic. I would put one of those in my current car.
Currently, the one I definitely know is around, is hanging from an old TV cabinet.
Yes! That's good stuff. That's good stuff. But, I mean, it was a fun thing. to go to, even though apparently a bunch of people were confused that it wasn't Transformers the movie.
Oh, maybe that's why I didn't go, because that's what I thought it originally was.
Next year is the 40th anniversary of Transformers the movie.
Oh, right. So, yeah, they should do that.
So, okay. I mean, they also did it for, I think, the 35th, so.
Yeah.
But there doesn't seem to be a lot of, like, investment necessary for those events, so we'll probably get it again.
No, not really. No, the Fathom events, they seem to run pretty easy.
They run them for everything.
Presumably a lot of other people did, but, like, Rift Tracks does them, like, 3 or 4 times a year, or was. I haven't been to a Rift Tracks in a while. Anyway, we keep diverting off of Transformers.
Yes.
It's late. I mean,
it's all a little bit Transformers. Also, I'm looking at the notes here, and I think I am going to scoot the video game discussion into its own little section further down. So we will get to that, because I feel like there's a few different things to talk about there. So I guess we could start with toys, because Transformers is
all about to sell toys.
Despite me being a big, I'm more of a fiction person.
We are, yes.
It's still a toy line. Yes. However, the most exciting thing for me this year is we finally got a toy of Filch.
Yes, which I haven't seen in a store. I keep being tempted to buy it online, but I don't know if I need. I already have the Air Razor, and it's like, it's a good looking Filch.
She
but
is.
I'm not as attached to Filch as you are, because it's Corvus.
She's a good toy.
Yeah,
it's a female. She's a Corvus. She's got great colors. Yeah, she's great. They remolded her bird head to look like the RID 2015 character design. She looks great. Also, completely out of nowhere. I mean, we had a toy of Straxus once before. It's Straxus. It was like with the comic series, it was like they built up. So they start with Shockwave and you're like, okay, yeah, that's a pretty straightforward one. And then they were like, okay, here's King Grimlock. It's like, all right,
that's an easy gimme.
That's also, I'd say, an appropriate second one. And then they're like, okay, so here's Straxus. It's like, okay, that's a good deep cut.
Yeah.
It's like everyone gets further and further from the mainstream until we end with the City of Fear 2.
Flame and Zoran. What the okay, Flame is kind of a crazy one, but
I mean,
it sort of makes sense. Oh,
he is literally kind of a crazy one.
He's just paint a Megatron toy red and orange. Fine, that's not really that hard. Zara! What?
I think they should have just, glued all his transformation joints. Or made them... What they should have done was tweaked the tolerances so that all the transformation joints feel like they're going to break if you actually use them.
Or if he'd been, a weaponizer where he could just pop apart.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to transform and he fell to pieces.
Apparently, they did make a point that he needs more, add-on bits to get his alt mode. As a nod to him not actually having a functional alt mode.
Yeah, I'm going to transform him once and then never again.
I would also like to know, in that same vein, if the SDCC... Marvel Legends Death's Head was something they decided to do this year for the Transformers people, because it's the 40th anniversary. Also, one of my cats literally
just an accident.
Got up on my desk and was like, fuck these scissors. So if you heard that slamming sound there, that was Edgar deciding. He just got up here, forcibly shoved my scissors off my desk, and then laughed. Anyway, very good year for Simon Furman specifically. And UK Transformers comic fans also specifically.
Very good.
Yeah, that was great. The HasLab Deathsaurus shipped, which was... Yes! He's so good.
Well, I think it technically shipped, like, December of the previous year, but still, I didn't get it till January. It's one of those toys I never expected to get.
Yeah. I mean, once they did Victory Saber...
Well, yeah, once they did Victory Saber, I thought, okay, maybe, but, do the leaders. Why are they going to do Deathsaurus? Why are they going to do a giant, loving, gorgeous Deathsaurus? Okay, the chicken mode could be better.
Everyone has always loved...
But the robot mode is so good.
Everyone's always loved Deathsaurus.
Well, the fandom has loved.
He's an amazing design.
I wasn't sure Hasbro still loved. I mean, some people that work there probably do, but...
Yes. He's an...
Would it come out? But we did get it.
Amazing design.
Yes.
The original toy was a lot of fun. He's got those great wings.
He's got a chair now?
He comes with a chair.
And two little Minicon, or Micromasters.
Yep. He's got little Micromaster buddies.
And, well, and his chest, guys. It's like lots of extra. It's great. I'm wondering what else they could do that would tempt me to get it, well, other than I'm half tempted to get a Victory Saber now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm hoping for a chance now that I've moved and I have a little more display space that can be, you know, cat-proofed, because I do have two cats specifically who love to chew on plastic sticky out bits, so anything that's holding a sword or a gun is, I'll just say that my hiss tank had a light coating of bitter apple on it to keep the turrets from getting chewed on.
Yeah.
But now that I've got a little more space...
Thankfully my cats don't mess with stuff, but...
Displaying Victory Saber and Deathsaurus is a high priority, because those are... I mean, I'm a big Victory person anyway. But that was because I got it on VHS in, like, 1995. But yeah, that was a really exciting one to come out this year. And then the new HasLab, which has not shipped yet, but we're starting to see package pictures of, is Omega Prime from Robots in Disguise 2001. Which, very cool. It's one of those that I am glad that it exists, and I'm happy for the people who wanted it, but I sat it out myself.
RIDs, well, the first RIDs is this weird thing where it's a good show, but I don't care that much about it personally.
Yeah, it's not one, I mean, I could definitely
see... It's just in a weird spot.
If it's the one that you grew up with being really invested in it... I mean, Victory for me is something that I discovered as a teenager, so it's got some of that sort of pseudo-childhood nostalgia. But, yeah, by 2001, it's a little less exciting, but it's a really cool design. He and Ultra Magnus do seem to have had a baby, so came with this little guy that turns into their guns. I'm like, oh, they had a kid. There's so many. I guess it's a 40th anniversary thing, but there's so many Optimus Primes. There's so many Optimi Prime.
There always are so many Optimus, but yeah, it does feel like more this year, although probably really isn't.
I think it is. I feel like it definitely is.
Well, I guess there's more different Optimuses. Like, we've had years with more Optimuses, but it's been like, oh, it's a movie year. There's like 15 different size classes.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that that's just like a particular Optimus Prime. Whereas this, we got the Omega Prime as the HasLab. We got Studio Series 86 Optimus Prime, which is... I did not get around to getting either the Earthrise or Siege Optimus Primes, so I am the target market for Studio Series 86 Optimus Prime. I did not have a, like, platonic ideal of Optimus Prime yet, so he was a definite pre-order for me. There was both Missing Link Optimus Prime and the Missing Link Optimus Prime we have at home.
We have it home. That Both of them coming out is kind of weird.
Speaking cool, of things that I've not seen in a store, though, I have not seen that G1 Optimus Prime in a store. Also, there was a Walmart reissue Optimus Prime that I additionally never saw in a store because my Walmart at my previous town just never got in those reissues.
I got the Target exclusive Optimus Prime that comes with a little dog.
There was a Target exclusive Optimus Prime that comes with a little dog, which...
Yeah, I passed him up the first time, and then as the year went on, it's like I saw it again. It came back in stock, and it's like, yes, I want the tiny doggy most. And another Optimus Prime. Because wait, is that... That might be the only Optimus Prime I got this year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I did get, Earthspark.
Ah.
So yeah. Two Optimuses this year.
There was Earthspark. There was the Transformers 1 Optimus Prime.
Still haven't gotten one of those yet. I'll probably just get a YOLO Park one.
I do want to get the YOLO Park Cogless guys. I might get the Studio Series Optimus Prime when it inevitably goes on some kind of discount because they've kind of piled
or
up a bit.
Ross or something. Yeah. I've seen some of those at Target. They've been tempting, but it's like, I don't really need that.
I don't know. We'll,
I love the movie, but...
We'll get into it later in this recording, but there's so much stuff this year. So that's something I'm going to have to, like, think about whether I want to keep going with this Studio Series 1 stuff. But there was a Jinrai who, in that clip that I love posting, points out that his name is Optimus Prime. He's Japanese.
Yes.
But yeah, there was the Masterpiece or MPG, or it's just Masterpiece. There's Masterpiece Jinrai. So that's another Optimus Prime. And it's just, there's a lot of Optimi Prime this year. There was the, I guess this is more of the third-party / license stuff. There's the Hot Wheels.
Oh, right, yeah.
There's so many of them.
That kind of is 40th anniversary, even though I don't care about the Hot Wheels. But.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was... The big notable, I mean, there was... they did the whole Mayhem Attack Squad and Wreckers thing with Amazon,
yes.
Which...
Yeah,
because
they've done
records
before, but now I have, well, I have the Trigger Con complete, finally.
I did make a point, because they did Impactor, but then they did, like, four different versions of him. I had to make a point to get the one that was specifically the classic style helmet, so that he could hang out with Zeron.
Yeah.
So that is another display that I'm looking forward to putting together in my cat proof display area. But yeah, it was a definitely a very big year for comic people, which I am. That's me. It's me. I'm comic people.
Yeah, it's a year for comic. I didn't expect to have another really big year of Transformers comics.
Yeah.
Because the first wave of IDW wrapped up, and the second wave was like, it's okay. And then it went away, and it's like, oh, somebody new is getting it. Okay, whatever. Some company I've never heard of. Run by that one guy that did the zombie comic that ran forever. Okay, that he'll probably push it. He did, and it's...
Yeah, it's doing good.
It's a good comic. It's sort of decompressed, very G1 cartoon feeling, but way more violent with wrestling. It's fun. It's low calories, but entertaining.
Well, with the fiction for this year, I mean, of course, Transformers 1 is the big one.
Yes.
It's the huge... I mean, they've been saying for years, oh, we're going to do an animated feature film. That's going to be just an origin of Orion Pax and D-16 at the beginning of the war.
Yeah, and we were kind of leery because it's like, well, we've seen that before. It's not been
every time they said it was the untold story, I was like,
yeah.
Is it, though?
It's been...
Because I think,
not counting the comics, it's been in like four different continuities.
I mean, at least it's been told differently a lot, but yes. It's told. But this is probably, and this is a lot. This is a lot coming from me because War Dawn does feature my stupid boys, my sweet dumb boys who cannot understand time travel.
Yeah, but War Dawn is only, it's until this, it's been the most in depth of the origin, at least of Orion Pax and Optimus. It's just very hand wavy, done really quickly.
Yes, but despite my fondness for my dumb boys going back in time and not understanding time travel, this is definitely the best version of it.
Yes. It well, see our soon-to-be-coming-out Patreon episode.
Yes.
It's good.
Patreon.com/IaconUnderground.
I want Transformers 2.
But yeah,
maybe probably not going to get it, but
I do feel like this was enough of a self-contained story that I'm okay with it. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't need more, but I'd just love to see more.
Yeah,
in that world, because it's an interesting take on the very basic original, like timelines. Like, what the fuck was going on back at the dawn of time when Decepticons and Autobots were formed, and it was caused by a bad breakup.
How is war formed?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a good movie. There's a lot of just lovingly animated, just the character animation, just the little
just
eye movements and everything. It's just
the texturing. Oh, I love the so metal good. Effects on their skins.
So good. But yeah, the Skybound Energon universe continued. We got G.I. Joe showing up. They won a couple Eisners.
Oh, yeah, they did win awards.
They kept putting out some absurd number of variant covers of issue one.
They're still doing that. They're putting like at least six or eight covers of every one, which I guess it makes them some money, but it's too many guys.
It's too much.
If you go beyond four for after the first issue, that's ridiculous.
We learned this lesson.
Four is ridiculous, but
we learned this lesson.
Yes, we lived through the 90s.
Yeah.
The early 2000s.
Those old people among us remember the 90s. We remember the days of foil, special edition, fancy covers.
Yeah.
And it didn't end well. But they did win a couple Eisners.
Well, then it was more the speculator boom. Now it's more just, hey, we got more. Maybe we'll sell some more.
I mean, it's
art prints, cool covers.
It's always nice for me to feel like Transformers is being appreciated. So
yes,
it's nice to have people who aren't like part of the fandom appreciating Transformers stuff. So.
And new memes. We got new memes out of that.
Did.
Cliff Jumper in his middle finger.
A friend of ours did the 3D print me a set of those middle fingers for the Cliff Jumper toys. So
I should maybe get those too.
He's a favorite. Hmm. I need to get him out and put him on my desk because that's good stuff. Yeah, I mean, it definitely, it's not bad. There's a lot to it that we've seen before.
Yeah.
I'm always a little wary with the writer-artist thing because sometimes it feels too much like they're just writing what they wanted to draw.
Yes.
And
but what he wanted to draw is robots beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
Which I'm all for.
I don't know. Optimus Prime is too dignified for wrestling moves.
Kinda, yes.
But still, but I mean, it's not terrible. It's not Dreamwave. No.
Oh, God. Oh.
It's, yeah. Like,
it looks good. He indulges in, well, there's a new writer-artist now, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
behind on issues.
I would say that I'm probably enjoying it more than I enjoyed the IDW 2 stuff.
Yeah.
Which was it was okay, but it was just sort of, I don't know.
It had some good ideas in there. It just felt very meandery. It's it was a bad version of going back to the beginning of the war.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it just... I mean, it threw a mystery in there that I don't even remember what it was.
I mean, that really just, I think, suffered from being written by a novelist who wasn't necessarily accustomed to the pacing of comics, ongoing comics. And that's going to happen when you change mediums.
Most of the time, yes. Every once in a while, you get a writer who gets the hang of it quick. But
I mean, overall,
most of them, it takes a year.
It's not bad. I mean, and I'm looking
it's
forward
not bad. It just,
into the next year of
pacing could have been
having,
anyway.
You know, after the move, I've got better access to my local comic shop, and I can walk down there on a Sunday afternoon and get my pull and stop at the coffee shop on the way back, and so it'll be good.
Oh, yeah, have you been reading any of the Void Rivals where Springer shows up and now Hot Rod or Rodimus or whatever? I picked up two more issues today. I just haven't read them.
I am a couple issues behind. It sounds like I'm probably a little further along than you are. So
yes,
I think I may be like two issues behind because there was a fresh one today when I picked up my poll.
I got two Transformers comics today. Was it three? And two Void Rivals I just picked up for the heck of it.
I'm getting all this stuff, though. Yeah, it turns out from my old poll, I'm missing some of the G.I. Joe stuff, so that's fun. But new shop, new poll. Looking forward to more comics. So we did get a second and third season of Earthspark. And I mean, by second and third season, I mean a second season that
it's
they
one season
up.
Split in half.
And I need to check because I honestly could not tell you if I actually finished watching the last batch of episodes.
Oh.
So wait, now
I've only seen the first two episodes.
Well, Paramount Plus is not waiting. Telling me to keep watching that, so
I guess I finished
it.
Or they took it off.
I mean, I like season one a lot, but season two was just, you could really
different.
Tell that the writing staff had changed and that they didn't have as much time to, like, be really thoughtful about stuff.
Hmm. Yay, editorial mandate.
Yeah, because it just goes from last season where it was very much like the Decepticons were just some people who had made some bad choices, to season two starting with, okay, but some people are just born bad. Hmm. And it was real bad. It felt real bad. Just the thematic differences were not great. And yeah, but yeah, I mean, and like there was a whole episode about hashtag getting a new alt mode because her old one had been a ghost van, and I was thinking, well, this could be like one of those sort of like important lesson episodes about how it's okay to accept that sometimes something you used to be into was problematic, and that doesn't make you a bad person, to just acknowledge that and move on. And that's not really the depth that they were dealing with this season. We were not doing anything with that kind of depth. It definitely faltered a lot in the second season, and I think a lot of that was just the writing staff. I'm not going to say was worse, because, I mean, it was a lot of good people on the writing staff, but to come up with those kinds of things, to put that much thought into the thematic stuff, you have to have time to really, like, work on writing stuff, to think it out, and not just scribble out some episodes because you're on a short deadline. And it kind of felt like that. But, you know, it's overall, the series still had a lot of good stuff to it, so it's not a whole write-off. And we got Aftermath, and he was great. He was Flea.
Yes.
Even though the series seemed to suggest that he was just born bad and his death will not be mourned.
It's fine if you have, like, one character like that that's just born wrong.
I mean, someone who's just, like, inherently an asshole. Like, sometimes people are just assholes.
Yes, and he's a really cool toy.
But just,
for
like,
an asshole.
Through circumstances out of his control related to the manner of his creation, he is just inherently corrupted and bad and wrong and that's not great. That's not a great look.
Well, you could write that properly.
Yeah, but they did not. But you know, probably that's not. We got a lot of good stuff, though. We did get a lot of good, so.
And we're not getting a fourth, which would be a third season, as far as I'm concerned, are we?
No, they're moving on to the next thing.
Whatever the next thing is going to be.
Speaking of moving on to the next thing. Aw, see, I'm being clever here. Beast Wars and Beast Machines got soundtrack releases.
Yeah, I'm shocked that the Beast Machines got a soundtrack release, too.
Bump it up, bump it up, bump, bump it up, bump it up. Except that's not on there.
But that's the song.
But, well, that's because you can...
I guess it's a different license.
See, there was some
Fat Planet
discussion of that, and I think the thing is, it's actually probably better for Left Field if you just directly stream Fat Planet from their, you know, their album release, than if Hasbro paid them to put it on the Beast Machines one. So
yeah.
So what you do, you create a playlist, you look up Fat Planet, spelled with a PH, by Left Field.
At least it is available, unlike when that happens with anime soundtracks, where you, like, you can't use the theme song anymore because it's half of a ripoff of a Neil Sedaka song or something.
But, yeah, you just, you make a playlist, you start it with Fat Planet by Left Field, and then you add the Beast Machines score. But yeah, that was really cool. And, you know, buy music if you can. You can go and you can buy those, and that way, if for some reason they disappear from streaming, you've still got them. They're like $10 a piece. And then, I mean, this is kind of related to Transformers, because Hasbro does own Tonka now. So, remastered episodes of GoBots started airing at 4 o'clock in the morning on either Saturday night or Sunday morning, depending on how poorly behaved you've been that weekend, on the new MeTV tunes. I told this story, I'm sure, on our regular podcast of how I decided. So I get MeTV tunes through a streaming service called Frndly, which has like a bunch of those B networks like ION and MeTV and Heroes and Icons, which shows lots of Star Trek. But I decided so I can do a DVR sort of thing through there, so it records it. So I have it set up to record it, and I just watch it during the week. But for the first night, I was like, I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna roll my ass out of bed at 4 in the morning to commemorate GoBots being on TV. And I was really nervous about how it was gonna look. And before it, they had been showing the real Ghostbusters, which is extremely DVD quality at best, the masters they have for real Ghostbusters at this point. Because I guess nobody's remastered it since it got a DVD release. So I was like, okay, let's see what this is going to look like. Because I've been used to dealing with stuff that does not necessarily look great. And it opens up, 4 a.m. hits, and it opens up on that establishing shot of Gobatron. And it's just brilliant. It's just crystal clear 1080p Blu-ray quality Gobatron. And I was just could not shut up about it for a solid day, just on blue sky, like, so oh my god, have you people seen how good it looks?
Which, understandably, because it would be nice if G1 Transformers got the same treatment.
It is so wild that there are Blu-ray quality remasters of GoBots, and they're does not seem to be a Blu-ray quality remaster of Transformers Generation 1.
or be an upscaled or something. You find the masters you can, hand them off to Discotech, they'll work miracles.
I know G1 is still in print on DVD because...
Yeah.
For whatever reason...
You can still get it, but it's just
at
like...
At one point...
But there's been, like, multiple versions and Rhino messed up colors or whatever.
For whatever reason, last year at my Target, like, the handful of DVDs that they still had in the store included a G1 set. I think it was probably maybe a little bit before Transformers 1 came out, so that might be why they had it out there. But that's still being made... So they, you know, I think it's Shout Factory still has the rights to it. So Shout Factory could.
Oh, yeah, probably. Shout Factory could. Shout Factory don't.
I mean, fundamentally, I think what it comes down to for GoBots is that it's Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, and they've been up.
When I realized that.
Cleaning up a lot of their stuff recently.
Yeah, when I realized that, it occurred to me that all of the Hanna-Barbera stuff that I had seen on MeTV Toons that first week was that same quality. Smurfs was that same quality. Yogi's Gang was that same quality. Inspector Gadget did not look great because that's Deke. That's not Hanna-Barbera. But yeah, all the Hanna-Barbera stuff that they had just looked beautiful. So Hanna-Barbera has obviously been going through... remastering all their stuff. I would guess probably they're leading up to doing a Blu-ray version of that, like, Warner Archive Hanna-Barbera Classics program that they originally had GoBots released on DVD through. So we are probably going to get a Blu-ray release of GoBots before we get a Blu-ray release of G1.
Which is weird.
Still, you should watch it. Crasher and Copter and Psykill are a delight. They they're the best. Why does Psykill have 5 o'clock shadow? It is.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
We could use it to slide into third party and stuff and other licensed stuff talk. Just found out today there's a new third party Copter toy. Like, 3¾ inches tall or something. Really small.
Oh my goodness.
About the same size as the original. But it costs like $160.
Oh my god, that's insane.
Freaking ridiculous. Or $150.
For it's Copter.
Like, for just Copter and like under 4 inches tall.
Wow. I don't.
Yeah, utterly confusing.
I don't even think that super fancy bike robo that they did.
Yeah, no, they weren't that bad. They were like 50, 60, I think they were.
Yeah.
And they were bigger. And I was tempted to get the Psykill of those. I think, wait, how much were they? Because, like, it tempted me. It wasn't ridiculously priced. But this thing's, like, for the single digits it's going to sell, I hope people are happy with it. But what the fuck?
But yeah, anyway. GoBots is wild. You should watch it. Everyone should watch it. It needs to come out on Blu-ray physical copies, and I will purchase it. So yeah, and that's appropriate because this is where I was going to seg into the third party and licensed stuff, because this was a really huge year for third party and licensed stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like, licensed third party stuff.
Oh yeah, licensed third party stuff, more third party stuff, just lots to think. Well, again, it's the 40th anniversary. It sort of works, but doesn't. It doesn't feel like 40th anniversary. Hopefully we're going to get a lot of stuff for the 50th if Transformers is still around, which it will be.
If I'm still around.
No.
I don't die of, I don't know, wildfires or hurricanes or something. But blockies were, like, the big thing everyone was so super excited about.
I didn't get... I should have got some at TFCon just to see what they're like. Well, I saw your jazz, I guess. It looked cool. It just... I haven't gotten any.
Yes. I got some from a friend on Blue Sky who had gotten a bunch of them as a promotional thing and was like, eh. So yeah, I got jazz. I got a bunch of them that way. I have not gotten a lot since then, except for the two that I picked up at TFCon Baltimore, which I just entirely went on vibes to get Tarn. Because they're blind boxed, which I kind of hate, because I want to just get the one I want to get. And I was seriously like, you know, I picked the box that I had a good feeling about out of the set. And I was like, okay, which Constructicon is this going to be? But it was actually Tarn. I do kind of want to get a case of the Transformers 1 ones from AliExpress. Mm. Because those are, they like, they really fit the aesthetic. So they really fit those designs. But yeah, everybody was very excited about blockies. And they are a great thing, especially to pick up, you know, at a convention, at a social thing. So you're all around the table in the hotel. Yeah. And you could being like, trade, oh, who'd you get?
The one you want.
Yes. Maybe trade if you've got enough people there. And so yeah, they're a great social thing. Also, they really took off at TF Nation where they were blokies, because, you know, bloke is a British term.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were super popular. Also, YOLO Park, all their stuff really caught on this year, especially the Transformers 1 stuff. Those were a little hard to come by for a little bit. I know there was a table at TFCon Baltimore that had, like, stacks of them, and they just went. So, yeah, the YOLO Park stuff has been really popular. Flame Toys continues doing stuff. Still doing a lot of model kits. And you wanted to talk about the Glacial Lord.
Yes,
which is something that I think you just picked up this year.
Yes, well, I think it came out like...
It's been around for a bit.
5 or 6 years ago. Yeah, it's been around for a while. Because I remember started seeing it on sale on Big Bad Toy Store and places. And I swear, like a Christmas or two ago, I had put it in my checkout and just never checked out. And I really should have, because now you can only get 3 of them, the torso, thankfully, and 2 of the limbs. And I got those 3, and it's like, because they were on sale for a ridiculous amount. It's like, I think the original price was like $30 per limb or something. So it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sort of why I passed on it for a while. But this winter, they were on sale for like $10 each, including the torso. It's like, ah, fuck it, I'll get them. And I did. Oh my god, I freaking love it. Because from the presentation of the box that looks like a G1 box-ish, and like the stickers are half applied, so you have to put some on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as a presentation art piece, they're fantastic because they feel so much like a G1 toy. Some parts are smaller and more detailed and things, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a new G1 combiner, third party, but not a knockoff of anything. It just feels like another existing Transformer, and it's in Technobots colors.
Ooh, I do like Technobots.
So after I got the first 3, just for the heck of it, it's like, well, I had to get 2 more limbs.
Mm-hmm.
But I was searching all over the internet trying to find the other, the 4th and 5th limbs, and apparently they were made in such small numbers as they came out, it's impossible to find them. Oof. Even used on eBay.
Oof.
So I just have duplicate limbs, but it's Glacial Lord, the set, is so fun.
Nice.
As a Transformer concept, I wish they'd sold better and made more.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they're kind of expensive. But they are little art pieces. Just the boxes are beautiful. The toys are great.
Yeah, that's...
It's a fun little combiner. It's a woolly mammoth torso that's feet have missiles pods in them. It's fun.
I mean, that's a problem with third-party stuff in general, and not, like, a problem that's fixable, but because the...
Yeah, because
production,
like,
runs are so small, prices are high.
You're another Starscream or a Optimus Prime is going to sell as third party.
Right.
A new set of new characters, especially ones that are just, oh, these are imitating, but not exactly like G1 combiner gestalts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a silly idea, but it's such a great execution of that idea.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a pain that they didn't make more of them.
And then we...
But you can find them cheap, so go get these things.
And then we also started getting the Iron Factory Breast Force toys, which are...
Yes, we did, at TFCon.
Those were a highlight. I need to get caught up on those, because I fell behind during the whole moving thing, but...
I got all four of the buddies. I haven't combined them into a torso sans arms yet.
Mm-hmm.
Torso and legs, but I have the legs and the torso in there, sitting on my desk. Well, currently behind Glacial Lord, because they're just standing there on my desk. I need to rearrange things, but yes, oh, they're fun. They're small. They're expensive.
Yeah,
but they're Breast Force.
They are.
So that's why I did spend more on those than I did on Glacial Lord.
Just call them Breast Force Chest Masters or whatever. It's like, call them Breast Force, you cowards.
Yeah, and they come with so much stuff. Well, and the legs are like 50% this add-on piece, which is ridiculous. But the end result does look pretty.
Yeah.
Like he's got sexy gams.
He's got leggies. So this was the year I got back to going to conventions.
Same.
And man, it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it was, like, I could say that, like, Transformers 1, seeing that in theater, seeing a new animated, fantastic, fun Transformers movie was, like, the highlight of Transformers of the year. No, going to TFCon was. it was, because I haven't gone to a convention in about a decade?
Mm-hmm.
And the last one I went to was an anime gaming convention in Wisconsin.
Ooh.
Which, that was fun, because I was there with a friend who was helping run the gaming room, so I got to see the back end of what a convention is like, and it's entertaining. But TFCon was the most fun convention I've ever been to.
It was real good.
Like, it managed to top, like, the first convention of anything you ever go to is probably going to be, like, the most fun, unless it's a really shitty convention.
Mm-hmm.
So my first convention going to what was it called? G-Con was originally called until they found out, oh, that's the name of a gay convention.
Oh, no.
Let's change our name to G-Fest. No, it wasn't like, it's like, ooh, ew. No, it was like, oh, they already claimed that. We'll change our name.
Like, oh, no.
It's like, we'll do that.
I mean, you don't want to let people get confused.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, like, that Godzilla convention was fun, but this TFCon, it was... Because I was nervous about going to a con again after so freaking long. I was like, how many people am I going to know,
mm-hmm,
besides you and Rose, who we went with, and maybe a couple other people? But it's like, oh, no, it was just fantastic.
Yeah, I feel like if you go to a Transformers convention and you're hanging out with a bunch of people who you knew when you got there, you're doing it wrong. You gotta meet new people.
Yes.
It's definitely,
I mean,
you wanna
idea, but like,
hang around and meet people, and maybe it's people you kinda knew online.
Yeah,
maybe it's
there was more of that than I expected. And it just the atmosphere is very good, very fun, very nice, very playful, very, let's go for a walk and get a Slurpee.
Slurpees. I wish that I had been able to stay at the Baltimore one longer, but I did go there saying that I was going to, like, spend as little as possible, and then within 15 minutes I had the G2 Combiner Wars Superion gift set carrying around under my arm. I said, I could go put it in the car, but I feel like I need this albatross to remind me of my hubris. Yes,
and to not buy more.
But, yeah, and you know, I did the room sale in Toronto, and that gave me a big pile of Canadian money that's definitely not for use to take home and convert to American currency and spend on bills. That was definitely money for the dealer room.
You were suggesting a room sale, and I was like, I'm a little hesitant about that. And it's like, oh no, it's actually fun.
Yeah, it was super fun. That went really well.
I need to find more things to sell this year.
Yeah. I may be running low on things to sell, but it was a lot of fun to have done that. I'd like to go to more of them the next time. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, I guess we could go instead of
I don't know for sure if I'm going to be going to Toronto this year. Just
what?
Because I have so much, because I just bought a house and I'm still dealing
house,
with paying down moving expenses and stuff. And I don't know anybody in the area yet who can cat sit for me. But next year, definitely.
Find a cat sitter. Hurry.
2026, definitely. This year.
But I want to go this year again.
I mean, you can go. You can go, but.
I know, but it's nice to have three people to split the room.
Yes, we will.
Unless I convince Rob. Rob?
We will see, but at this point, this year, I may need to just be chill and accept that I have purchased a house and everything else can just be secondary this year.
Well, I could be there to peer pressure you to not buy extra stuff at the con.
Next year.
Just hang out this year.
Definitely, though. And also probably, I don't know, we'll see what else. But yeah, that was really good. I used to be like BotCon used to be the highlight of my year, from like 1995 onward. So it was really good to get back to that whole thing. It was great. Also people coming to the room sale being like, are you the trickster? And it's like, don't do this to my ego. I can't deal with it. But, and also, speaking of things for my ego and things from 1995, I did get to help out providing some material for James Roberts' fanzine book that he's working on.
Yes, whatever the heck that's coming out.
Look forward to that. Yeah, definitely look forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. I will definitely be picking that up. So, I know we're running a little late. My watch is telling me that it's bedtime. But
yeah.
What are we most excited about this coming year?
That is a good question. I don't really... Well, more just like, what is coming? Age of the Primes could be fun. I mean, we're getting toys of characters we never expected and another Bigger the Fallen.
Mm-hmm. He's on fire. That's important. I am definitely excited that we're getting an update to my dumb boys. To my aerial bots.
Oh, yes, the aerial bot. Yeah, they might be a good thing.
Hopefully Silverbolt will ship before Air Raid and Slingshot get themselves in too much trouble.
Yes.
Don't put those two out first. They're going to cause problems. They're going to be so much trouble. So yeah, I'm excited about that. I do think I'm probably going to pick up all of the primes, just because I really like the idea of having a whole set of them and getting out my Cybertron Primus and just having this like epic display. Also,
I don't know if I really need them. I'm cutting back more or trying to, so I don't know if I need them. I'll probably get what's her name? The one lady.
Oh, Solus.
Solus, yes. Because her vehicle mode looks cool.
I think she's going to hang around my workshop area. So, but I do have the, Adamus Machina Rodimus on pre-order.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be so good.
Oh, yeah, and they're making a giant Predaking.
Yes.
Which is pointy and ridiculous, and I don't think I need that.
It's very Studio Ox Predaking. It's very much just that, like, one little bit of animation from Call of the Primitives that's just Predaking being extremely spiky.
Oh, well, I forgot. My problem with that is that Razor Claw is twice the size of everybody else, and that feels wrong.
Yeah, but, you know, that happens when you're the torso sometimes. Ask Silverbolt.
You should have made the crotch out of a second dude. Yeah. Or sixth dude.
Well, these were mistakes made long ago.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited that we're getting new aerial bots. They do look really good. Honestly, they kind of make me like the Combiner Wars ones less, which is sad because the Combiner Wars ones are perfectly good, but they are a little spindly.
Combiner Wars one's good.
Yeah. But yeah. And then we'll see if we get G2 ones. I do have to say, even though I know they have allegedly fixed the plastic problems, I do, like, when I get out that the G2 Colors Combiner Wars Superion, like, Slingshot, I'm real wary of handling him, even though, like I said, they've allegedly fixed it, but it's just so drilled into my head to be incredibly careful with that toy.
It may not just be the gold. Sometimes weird things are swirly. Like, my little Dinobots Combiner I had combined, he took a very short tumble, like 2.5 feet, and broke a knee.
So,
which was part of the Grimlock, but they were cheap. So, It taught me be way more careful with Dino King. Oh, that's another thing I'm happy about. We got a Dino King toy.
We did. I should get that. That's one that I
He's
was
a cute
like
little gift set.
I have spent a lot of money, but it's. You know, I'm keeping an eye on those Hasbro Pulse sales. Hmm. So maybe I'll manage to work them in the budget somewhere. Deathsaurus does need some people to push around. He needs some lackeys to push around. But I am looking forward to that Rodimus. He looks very good. He looks very pointy. He looks maybe cherry flavored. I'm going to lick him. He may be cherry flavored. He's so sparkly, and he's just, it's a really good looking toy. It's a really good looking figure. I'm excited about that. Otherwise, oh my goodness.
Somebody squeaking.
One of my cats, he will just, for whatever reason, when he's wandering around talking to himself, he sounds like an injured puppy.
Oh,
and I'll check on him, and he's perfectly fine. He's just sounding like a sad puppy. I don't know what the deal is. Cats are weird sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to what the year brings. Again, being a new homeowner, my toy budget is a little limited. My adventuring budget is limited. On the sort of personal side, the place I've moved to has a lot more flea markets and antique malls and collectible shops. So I'm really buying weird things. I'm looking forward to seeing what I can find. I just went out to visit one that I had visited one time before and came back with Repugnus, like original G1 Repugnus, in pretty good shape. So he's my pal now. He's friend-shaped. I picked up a $5 Supernaturals Viking guy, so I'm looking forward to spending the warmer months going around to all the old junk shops and finding myself some old junk. I'm going to end up with so many VHS tapes. It's going to be ridiculous. Just absolutely unnecessary. I almost bought a Rock Lord's Boulder from the place where I found that Supernaturals figure, but I was like, you don't need that. Come on, Jen. You don't
need... Well, you need random Rock Lords, unless they're expensive, if they're like $5 or less.
It was like 15.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's a bit much for a Rock Lord.
For a Rock Lord.
Rock Lords should be $5.
Yeah, I do generally agree. It looked like he was in pretty good shape. He was in a case. So,
I mean, unless it's one of the two chromed guys and his chrome is still good, then yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So I'm looking forward to doing some junk shopping, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of Transformers involved in that too. So yeah, I think that is about it for getting caught up. Hopefully we will be back on a more regular schedule, considering that...
Skipping over video game news, kind of like how it's felt.
Again, my watch is reminding me that it's bedtime.
I mean, yes, it is the end, but like...
I'm not saying that that means I need to hurry. That just means that I'm saying I'm tired.
Yes. The gacha games are still chugging along, but the one game we thought was coming out apparently isn't coming out.
Reactivate.
And possibly was a scam.
The one that got toys. And yeah.
Yes.
I didn't realize they had Simon writing on that.
Neither did I until he said, it's like,
I mean,
oh,
I don't know if he
coming out.
Was in a position to like acknowledge that publicly, maybe.
Not recently, probably. Yeah, I don't think we found out until after it was canceled.
But yeah, it sounds like the developer might have just been like milking the license to get funding from the bigger public, or like the studio might have been using the license to milk the publisher for funding, and then like he pulled a Pat Lee and ran off.
Yeah. They had actually been, like, there are bits of stages that have been built out there, demo stuff.
There were toys! The toys came out!
Well, but the toys, I think the thing with the toys was, like, they built them early after the designs were finalized, and they've been sitting in a warehouse for a while, and then they just shoved them out because it looked like the game wasn't coming out, and then months later we found out, oh, the game's not coming out.
Also, Microsoft keeps threatening us with the good time of putting the Activision games back out.
Yeah, please.
I would really like that, just so maybe the aftermarket prices of War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron tank a little bit. Because I just, last year before, well, 2023, got an Xbox. I did manage to find a physical copy of Devastation for not too much money.
Yes.
But yeah, Fall of Cybertron and War for Cybertron are like $80, $90.
Yeah, they're really good. Well, part of the problem is what they also have online, and are they going to put the online back on?
I would assume that if they actually... I mean, I assume that if you bought the disc right now and tried to play it, you could not do the online stuff, but you could do everything else.
No, but if like they chuck it up on Steam, you could in theory.
I would
set that up, but you'd have servers and things. It would make more sense to gut the online stuff, squish the two games together, and just throw them up on Steam.
And maybe that's what they're trying to figure out.
Yeah, possibly. But like, you could just throw Devastation up there without doing shit.
But there was, but like, the listing got updated, but not actually to say that it was available, so it seemed like they were being prepared to be available, but then they just
made space for it,
but, weren't actually available. But, so that's something, I mean, we're getting toys from those, and we got Devastation Optimus Prime coming up soon.
Yeah, that's another thing, they're making new toys of the characters' designs from those games.
Yeah.
But we just had four toys come out for the game that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah. Studio Series is...
It has been a bad year for Transformers games.
Yeah.
Well, I get maybe that one... Was it Earth Wars or something that got you... really a gacha game. It's a phone game that just keeps chugging along and... We don't know how, although Simon Furman's still writing for it. But
yeah, he's still doing writing. Speaking of
that, like, I wouldn't know that game exists.
As another aside, he and Andrew Wildman have a podcast.
Oh, yes, which, how is that? I downloaded two episodes. I still haven't gotten around
to listening
to it.
It's pretty fun. My commute is pretty terrible. I mean, it's not like traffic or anything. It's just like 40 miles each way. Because that's what I had to do to be able to afford a house. And so I have a lot of time for listening to podcasts. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's probably more fun if you're someone who is very interested in learning things like that the UK comics industry has a tradition of Christmas-themed covers and that sort of thing. But yeah, I've rather enjoyed listening to that.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, I should listen to it just for the accents alone. I like a good accent.
So, but yes, video games, because I was tired and I forgot.
Yeah, we could have left it out. It's just, it's a footnote of this year.
It
and this
is
episode.
Important to me as a media preservation nerd to note that they keep threatening to bring back the Activision stuff. And hopefully that'll happen at some point, because...
Hopefully.
I mean, they're pushing Xboxes that... don't have physical media drives, and whereas, you know, I was able to go to GameStop and get them to send me an Xbox One copy of Devastation from another store and $25, and now I can play that if I actually ever had time to play video games anymore.
Yeah. Well, Devastation is easy to play short and quick. That one's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I should give that a try, maybe. I'd say this weekend, but God, I'm so busy this weekend. So,
it would be nice to bring back the War for Cybertron, Fall Cybertron games, because the first one is the only game I've ever platinumed and gotten every trophy in the possibility.
Nice.
Which was a pain in the ass getting the online ones, but...
You could pet laser.
That was the only game I cared about it.
Yeah, so hopefully, fingers crossed, 2025... we will see some sort of resolution to that whole thing that's hanging over the Xbox and Steam stores.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. But yeah, other than that, I think that is it for our wrap-up, unless there's something else I forgot.
I think we probably did forget something.
There's some odds and ends, but like I said, if it wasn't worth remembering, we didn't need to bring it up.
No, I mean, there's probably some really good toys we're just forgetting, or random news about new shows or stuff. Oh, wait. There was Cyber World?
We can talk about that.
That when we actually get news about it other than the title. Yeah.
Which, again, as I was starting to say, we will hopefully be getting back on a regular schedule of doing this now that I've finished. You know,
yeah, the move kind of torpedoed a December episode.
Yeah, especially because it ended up, you know, taking over like 3.5 months of my life because of the way that, you know, the lease being up and then actually the whole closing on the house process and everything. So
yeah, I know how things that should take a month can take multiple months.
Yes. But yeah, stuff. I have my desk set up. I've got my mic set up. I am no longer using a headset in my parents' basement. Mm. Good stuff. Good stuff. So yeah. But yeah, that is it for 2024. We will be back more regularly in 2025. And hopefully we'll have a lot of good stuff to talk about. So until then, this has been Jen.
And I'm David.
Good night.
Good night.